Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on the Danny Brown Show.
All press is good press if you know how to handle it and come back from it. On God, see, I started COVID, Danny. Because they were sucking the same cucumbers, switching saliva and shit. I started COVID. Look at my face. That is white people shit. Danny Brown just loved his dog like a white man.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why your main studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why your main studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, Dell? Coming to you live from Austin, Texas at Wild Me Studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all fellas doing?
Hey, yo.
What up?
What's up?
I'm so happy for this episode. I got my boy in the house.
Hey.
None other than Mr. Throw That Ass Yourself. We
Hold
got
up,
B
man.
King, H-Town.
What it do? What it do? What it y'all. Do, man?
Y'all don't know if this is my dog right here, man.
People don't know. We go back like almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
you know what
man.
I'm saying?
That's my boy right here, man. How you been, man? You looking good and shit?
Hey, man. I just lost 51 pounds.
You been dieting and shit?
I've been intermediate fasting, and then I switched into OMAD.
Because if motherfuckers don't, I got to let the motherfuckers know, man. You the fucking shrimp-eating king.
Oh, yeah.
If there was ever a motherfucking shrimp-eating challenge, man, we used to go to Papa Do's. This motherfucker ordered the fucking large shrimp, which they get, you know, out here.
I get two large shrimps.
That's what I'm saying. I was about to say that. This nigga be like, fuck the fries. Don't give me no fries.
I would eat the fries, too, on certain days.
I watched this nigga eat like 50 shrimp, man. I was amazed. I've never seen nobody do that.
I still do it, though. Every once in a while on cheat days, I get me a large. But they don't have large shrimps at Papa Do's no more. They only have mediums.
For real, they done cut back.
They cut back.
Yo ass, you was putting them out of business.
Well, see, no, I'm the only one was buying that shit. So everybody else, they're like, that's too much shrimp for normal people.
You actually told me, like, man, I actually think I had iodine poisoning one time, man.
Hey, on guard. I stood up and was dizzy. I was like, wait, is this what Pimp C was talking about?
Yeah, we just thought
iodine
it was a rap
boy. I said, no, you stand up, you get dizzy. Like, that shit real. Iodine poisoning.
No shit. So you got the new album out.
She Won't Leave Houston.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? It's my most important album to me. It's still the same club, ratchet ass, hood rat shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through so much to get this out. You know what I'm saying? Like dealing with major label situations and, you know, getting out that situation and all that. But finally got it out. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
And
She Won't Leave Houston. What's the story behind that title, man?
Man, honestly, bro, just being in the nightlife in Houston, man, I run into so many women, man, and a lot of females move to Houston,
mm-hmm.
and they get caught up in Houston. You know what I'm saying? Houston, it's a lot of money out there, and it moves real fast. They get caught up in nightlife, the strip club culture, you know what I'm saying, being bottle girls, linking up with these rappers, basketball players, pimps, all that. And then a month later, they homeless.
What?
And I just be like, I don't be understanding how bitches can come to Houston and become homeless. There's so much money out there. That don't make sense to me. Like, handicapped parking at a skating rink.
And if motherfuckers don't know, you the strip club king. My homie actually had a crazy story. He went to the strip club, which he's like, man, the bitches was tipping him.
Hey, man.
He was the king of that bitch, man.
Hey, you know what, though? that's actually happened before. But I guess because of the music I make.
Yeah, yeah. They say they.
I don't be needing money.
Yeah, you was making so much.
I go in there and they just be like
they
dancing for me like it's a privilege for them. Like, oh, my God, I've made so many bags off your music, mm-hmm. Club God, the Emperor. Let me just dance for you for free. And I just be like, bitch, you do that for all the rappers. So don't try to act like I'm special.
Man, you've been killing it, man. You've been working with a lot of heavy hitters and shit. Man, you always been one of my motherfucking favorite producers, though, man. Ain't nobody, because you remind me of like
salute.
Like, Do you be mixing your own shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it, man. Because don't nobody bass it harder than club gods, man. Yeah, I swear to God, your shit be rumbling.
I mix my music for the club.
Yeah.
I don't care about how it looks level-wise on the screen and all that. Long as the bass is hidden and I'm not peaking,
mm-hmm.
that's all I care about.
So with this new album, man, so it's still club god shit.
It's still, you know what I'm saying? It's actually more ratchet than ever. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I just want nothing but college hoes bumping.
So are you excited to be back independent and shit?
I am, man. Like I say, on the outro of all my albums, I just talk to my fans for about 10, 15 mm-hmm. minutes, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, on this album, I break it down about, you know, before, you know, then leave, get that bread, get that head. But before that shit came out, I was independent for 10 whole years. That's mm-hmm. when me and Danny met each other, you know what I'm saying? Independent, 10 whole years, and I ran my program the way I ran it, you know what I'm saying? I would shoot the videos I want, drop whenever I want, and all that. And when you sign to a major, it's so many different people you have to have on the same page with you. You can't just drop when you want to. You have to get in the song months ahead of time so they can try to go pitch it for playlisting or do this. And you'll turn a song in, they'll be like, man, this shit is dope, but it'd be dope if you could get Glorilla on it. Yeah. And I'll just be like, you know, I may not want to feature all the time. You know what I'm saying? Major labels really try to push them features on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Try to push them features on you all the time. And like I say, I never talk down on Columbia because I met a lot of real niggas there.
Mm-hmm.
People who still fuck with me still help me out. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I just realized the major label thing for me, it's not for me. It's not for me. And I don't think it's no amount of money, I think, that would make me go back. Because they do try to throw that bag in you. And when you get to popping with that one song, they be like, hey.
Yeah, but I feel like for the most part, just Texas artists in general, it's like y'all got y'all own world here anyway.
For
and
sure.
I feel like y'all was like, it's like a few cities like y'all, the Bay.
Honestly, bro, I don't know no broke Texas artists.
Yeah, because y'all got y'all own world here. Like, y'all could just tour Texas.
I don't know.
Y'all could fucking just tour Texas, Oklahoma and
Texas
shit.
Texas big as hell, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't just know no...
I recently just played Oklahoma. Well, maybe like a year ago, I played Oklahoma my first time. I know
Oklahoma,
that's like your second
like
home.
Texas.
Yeah, I
just
know.
Like Texas. You know what I'm saying?
They got the weed now. I was like, what? I ain't know they was fucking legal with the weed. I ain't know Oklahoma was like, it was hood out there.
Oh, it's hood as fuck. It's a lot of Midwest cities that give me Texas energy. You know what I'm saying? I guess because I get so much love. Like
definitely.
Oklahoma and Kansas City and St. Louis and, you know what I'm saying, Cleveland, you know, them places like that, man, you know, it's they right in the middle of the country, so it's a place like Kansas City, man, you'll hear one of my songs, and then they'll bust out with a Tech N9ne song, you know what I'm saying, out of nowhere, you know what I'm saying?
Straight up.
Tech N9ne?
I guess because that's just, the Midwest, I mean, just pretty much like the South.
Mixing pot.
It's a big strip club scene, too, as well, you know, where...
Oh, you know, I wouldn't say so much.
See,
the strip
you from Houston,
scene.
So y'all strip clubs don't compare. The asses out here, you know what I'm saying? Well, in Houston, the motherfucking donka donks out there, man, it's just different level. Everybody got the BBL,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
In Houston, man, it'd be a lot of real ass. There won't be no fixer flat walking around in Houston like that. Now you got a couple, you got some nice BBLs out there in the H. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, man, them Houston bitches been eating right their whole life, man.
Houston black women always been top tier to me. Like
For sure. The
black women in Houston, you know, I would give Detroit their credit too. We got some nice ones in Detroit too.
Yeah, Detroit. Them
and
bitches
and it's D.C. I would say three. That's what be my top three of. You can get you a nice thickum out there, man.
No,
you know what I'm
sure,
saying? So,
for sure.
So, yeah, man, I'm excited your ass is here, man. Thank you for pulling up, man.
Hey, man, I told you, I say I'm a big fan of the show. I got to pull up, man. I was like, wait, you in Austin, too, nigga?
Yeah, I've been out here for a few years, man. You supposed to been pulled up on your boy, man.
Yeah, man, it needed to be the right time.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, right now, it's the right time. Like I say, I'm independent, and all the money is mine again. So I'm doing everything.
And even on some other shit, I feel like you was like one of the first ones that was, you know, with the female rappers now starting to really crack. Like, you was one of the first ones really, like, super embracing them, man. So,
you know, I have a little joke with my team. I was like, I'm a female rapper. But like all the type of music I make, my fan base is all women. Like I'm like a female rapper. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think a lot of labels didn't know what to do with me or how to market me, because they just like, it's like you're a female rapper, but you're a guy, but it's like your energy is like a, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you a guy, you make club music. A lot of labels don't really know how to market that. So, like I said, I'm glad I'm back independent because I know exactly how to.
And especially everything is so, you know, so internet, social media based now as far as how they judge impressions and how motherfuckers doing with their music. Your shit is outside.
Your shit is in cars.
Your shit is in the clubs and shit.
It's real emotion. It's not that bought. It's not bots. It's not bought.
Mm-hmm.
It's not none of that fake ass shit. And I ain't knocking that, you know, because, you know, them niggas that be getting that fake ass looks, that shit start blending in with they real look, and it makes sense after a while, and that shit turn their ass up. But my shit always been real. Like, you gonna hear my shit when you go outside. You gonna hear it in the club. You gonna hear it at basketball games. You gonna hear when a car full of bitches pull up at a gas station and shit. You gonna hear my shit outside for real, like that.
That's the funniest shit to me, because they always be talking about like the top rappers and shit like that. They be like, but we don't hear him out. He ain't outside. We don't hear that shit in the club. You the club god. Like, hey, motherfuckers, man. Your shit is slapping everywhere,
you
man.
You gonna hear me.
And for the most part, I guess it's different cultures everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, like, motherfuckers ain't getting sturdy to your shit in New York. So yeah, they don't, you know what I'm saying?
Like, in New York, and that used to be my problem, you know, around when we first met.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That was like, what, 2013-ish, 14-ish? Like, people knew my song, but they ain't know me. They didn't know that it was my shit. Mm-hmm. So you could play my song in Miami, the whole club going nuts. They don't know I'm standing right there.
Yeah, exactly.
In New York, I had that problem right now in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll play my shit in New York or Jersey, everybody going nuts, but they don't know who Beat King is. Mm-hmm. They know the song, though, you know what I'm saying? So getting back independent, I could really get back into turning up my likeness and everybody realizing who the fuck I was, because I was doing that cucumber shit. That had me lit. That had me lit. Everybody
was
like,
crazy,
oh,
man.
This nigga's crazy.
You
son.
Was wilding with that shit. I was, man, the motherfuckers was having cucumber parties, man. Like, man, was bitches sucking the same cucumbers?
Yeah,
or y'all,
yeah.
Oh, my God. These bitches disgusting.
Oh, God. See, I started COVID, Danny. Because they was sucking the same cucumbers, switching saliva and shit. I started COVID.
That cucumber shit was viral as fuck. That shit was nuts, man.
It was crazy, and it really helped me with my music, but that's something I couldn't do today.
Yeah,
they canceled the fuck out of me today.
Shit was wild, man. I feel like for the most part, that's how I was able to resonate with you so much. That's why when I first heard your music, I reached out off rip, like, man.
Hey,
no,
for sure.
You the truth, boy.
And you know what's crazy? I was, when you reached out to me, I was like, wait, is this really him? You know what I'm saying? Wait, this nigga, is this really him? Because it was crazy, because your video had just went off MTV Jam. The one with you walking around the house and the
25 bucks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Had just went off MTV. I said, wait, this nigga Danny just hit me. And I said, man, I know it's him because the song he like is one of them weird beats I made.
So I know that.
And with my twerk shit, my weird shit.
And
I
was like, for you,
like,
I know. What was it, a thing where he's like, this weird rap motherfucker like my shit? Or was it like?
I say you were one of the first artists that hit me where it was starting to make me realize that you don't know who's listening to your music. You may think it's for ratchet hoes, but I've always, like, with me, I'm not just a ratchet club artist. That's what I'm known for. That's what make me all my money. But I'm a lyricist. I can really rap.
No, yeah, your ass got bars.
It's just I realized bitches don't want to learn trigonometry in the club. You know what I'm saying? They want to hear a beat that a drunk bitch will like, put it with a hook that a drunk bitch will like, and you're going to win every summer. And that's just how I've been doing it. But if I ever have to rap, I can.
No, you can rap, yeah.
So I have these albums that have come out, and Pitchfork will give them high ratings and all that. And that's how I met a lot of rappers. You know what I'm saying? They're like, man, I thought you was this way. But then I hear a whole album you did with Gangsta Boo, and you rapping this way. And I'm like, man, that's because I'm 38, bro. I'm not 18. Like, I'm cut from the old school. I know how to.
Yeah, rest in peace, Boo, man.
That was my big sis for
real. Yeah, I know, man. I've spent a lot of time with Gangsta Boo, man. We've done a lot of festivals together, man. She was always, we always hung out, had a good time, man. So that really kind of hit me hard, too,
she
man.
She's one of them real ass niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like I say in this industry, you know, probably only 15% of everybody you meet gonna really be 100 in your
body. Super humble, super
nice.
She
one of them real ass niggas. That's why I fucked with her.
The way she was, you wouldn't even believe she was Gangsta Boo. It was like, man, like you a legend. Like, you know what I'm saying? She always was super nice to me, man.
Chilling. This would just be like chilling. Like, I remember 2018, we was working on our second album together. And she came to my house for a week and she was just staying in my house. And I just couldn't believe that she was just so chill. We've hung hundreds of times, but I was just like, Gangsta Boo really in my house eating sandwiches and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a real normal bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Last time
like,
I hung out with her, we was in Portugal.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was on some different money.
Yeah, no, she was in Portugal with, she was,
Running Jewels, because
No, she wasn't with Running Jewels. She was with another female, like, DJ type shit.
Speaker Fox, probably.
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah, RIP to her, too.
We had hung out. She took me to this crazy party, man. But even that, with everything I went down with her, man, it was an eye-opening experience for me, man. Like, man, you know?
It's just one of them things. If you in that world, then that was my nigga. She was. She was in that world. If you in that world, you just got to be careful.
Literally.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be careful because it's some bad shit out here right now.
She was literally super underrated. In some sense, because like far as like female rappers go, like she was like she a legend, like I said, and just she could really fucking rap.
We would joke about that shit, because my thing is she was a real motherfucker, you know. And she was like, man, the shit that's going on right now, I'm like, man, you ain't gotta tell me, your DNA is all in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The way they hop on these beats, the way they the triplet style, all that shit. As far as the woman, she started that. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that was Big Sis for real. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and all the shit y'all made was crazy.
She helped me so much in my career. That's why she's hanging up in my house right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, she helped me a lot. You know what I'm saying? Before I linked up with her, I was just a pop that pussy man. You know what I'm saying? When I started doing music with her, it made people respect me as an artist. You know what I'm saying? The music we made, the projects we dropped, you know what I'm saying? We just never had situations for him. If we ever would have signed to something or had like situations for him, it would have been just as crazy as Run the Jewels.
And that's the crazy part about it, because that lets you know her range, where she was able to work with somebody like you and a fucking Run the Jewels. Like, that's pretty much worlds apart.
And Eminem. And she has songs, a song with Eminem and Yellow Wolf, you know, so. And Outkast. Like, my Big Sis was a legend, man.
Yeah, definitely a legend, man. Shouts out to
Lola.
Rest in peace, Gangsta Boo. All right, man, we'll jump into some of these Ask Dannys, man. You can hit me up, Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. First up, we got Newsworthy album drop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Ask Danny.
Hey, Danny. In recent years, I've become a big fan of fellow Detroit rapper Bodie James. Shouts out to Bodie. Killing it. I saw recently he got in a very bad car crash. I noticed a couple days later he released a new album. I'm not insinuating that there is some kind of conspiracy here, but this made me wonder if rappers or any musicians do things to get themselves in the news just before they drop new music. I know this is something people say happens. The biggest example probably being Kanye. But I was curious if there's any validity to this claim. Thanks for all the entertainment. Keep them high and tight. Nick from Sacramento. I would definitely say in Bodie case, that was definitely not the case. Motherfucker ain't damn near, you know, risking a life for an album drop. But I would say some of these major labels, they definitely put together some type of schemes and scams.
Oh, God.
I actually, you know, seen a situation where like they have like fake relationships, like get with like a top pop star and shit like that. They ain't really together. That's just for them to get the look and shit, to get their name out there. You know, it's a couple artist situations that's been like that I've known of. So I feel like you would know a little bit about this man more than me, man. I ain't.
Man, being signed to a major, I realized that everybody wants to make money. Everybody has bills. So they will ask you to do anything to pay them bills, bro. They'll ask you to do anything. You know what I'm saying? You don't drink? Oh, okay. Well, shit, man. You'll have this sponsor if you just hold this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's labels, like, they just need that bag. They, you know what I'm saying? They want you to stream. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
So if you getting in a relationship with somebody popping or... hell, you almost getting shot or dying. They're like, man, you didn't die, though. And those streams are going up, man. So maybe you need to go to a more dangerous city next week.
What the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? Get them streams.
I mean, it's all about the algorithm for them motherfuckers.
That's all they
impressions
care about.
And shit like that, man. So, like, even that fucking term where no press is bad press type shit. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't agree with that, man. It's all about your name and, you know.
It's about what you stand for. You
at
know
the
what
end
saying?
Of the day, you know, especially motherfuckers, you got kids and shit. You leaving a legacy behind. And, you know, some artists, man, the type of stunts and shit they pulled and shit like that, that shit overrides the music.
I think that phrase, it just needs a little part behind it. You know what I'm saying? All press isn't good press. All press is good press if you know how to handle it and come back from it and turn it into something else. Because you can get involved in something bad. Let's just say you a rapper and you find yourself in an R. Kelly situation. Ain't nothing good about
nothing
that
good
press.
About that shit.
You can't turn that press around. Nothing.
None
you
of
know
that
what I'm saying? So all press ain't good press. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it ain't. Like I said, I've seen a lot of artists have come and go and just the stunts and all the shit they pull has override their music. And you don't even think about the music. You think about that time they did that dumbass shit.
No, have you just seen them Island Boys kissing?
Yeah.
I saw that on accident, man. Shout out to fucking Academics for posting that whole ass shit.
I don't know what's going on with that, man.
That just shows you, like, people be like, man, I got to get back in people's face, man. I gotta do something that's going to capture their attention and make them care. And
That was creepy, man.
It was very creepy.
They were
like
dropping tongue too.
Like,
I mean, I guess they, like you say, man.
What's even creepier about it? You gotta sit there and think they probably fucked up like two times. Let's do it one more time. They did like three takes.
They did
like
a couple takes.
A couple takes of that shit. Oh my god.
It's never that serious though, man. I mean, I feel like with them, man, they were always like, you know, reaching for that viral success.
Yeah.
And then when that song kind of popped off, it got way bigger than they probably ever could imagine, because they were like literally like celebrities at that time, and they've seen the drop off, you know, and you know shit hasn't been. They just want to keep themselves in the news and shit, and it's
I think anybody from that era is kind of having a hard time right now. You know what I'm saying? Like anybody that the face full of tattoos, the SoundCloud era, I think that. And it's not their fault. Music change. You know, times change. It'll probably be lit for them again in about 3 or 4 more years. You know what I'm saying? But everybody from that kind of 07-ish, I mean 2017-ish, 16-ish wave, you know what I'm saying? Right now, you know, music then kind of went to something else.
And it goes back to what I was saying.
It
goes back to what I was saying in that sense of that they're so used, I mean, they so thirsty for catching the viral moment that they not thinking about, you know, the future with the shit. Like, you can play Beat King songs from 5 years ago that still slap in the club like it came out yesterday. Like, they not thinking about that kind of shit. They just thinking about what's hitting for right now. And the whole point of it is like, you want to make classic shit, man. Shit
classic
that's gonna fucking,
shit.
Shit that's going to fucking be able to play any fucking
shit
era.
It's going to put your kids in school.
Yeah.
And like I said, I hate to start signing. Like, I'll be catching myself. I'll be like, man, I sound like an old nigga now.
I embraced it.
Me, yeah, I embrace it too.
Fuck
you know
it.
What I'm saying?
I am the old hater. They want to call me the old head.
Hey,
I am that nigga.
I'll be sitting there like,
somebody got to make it cool.
I'll be like, y'all not finna jam this in 1 year.
Exactly. That's why they got to release so much fucking music. They got to release an album every 3 months because that shit is like microwave popcorn. You know what I'm saying? Bruh. Burnt microwave popcorn. Let me quit talking shit. I do sound like the old hater.
Hey, it's not your fault, bro. We just cut from different shit, man.
I grew up and I want to be the fucking...
I love this new shit, though. Don't get it fucked up. I love this new shit.
I love a lot of the new shit.
I love all this
new
shit.
You know what I'm saying? But
it's when I hear it, I be like, all right, this is popping right now. But it ain't going to be in 2 years, man.
My whole thing is, it's almost like they don't really love rap.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just cool to do. It's something to do. You can do it. It's so easy to get a studio in your house and record off your phone or do all that kind of shit. But they don't really love it. Like, I really love this shit. I used to walk fucking 2 miles just to go to fucking Blockbuster Video to fucking buy a Source magazine. Because I didn't know what was going on in hip-hop that month. And that was the only way I could know. I would beg my mom for $3.
Wasn't no internet. Yeah, you had to read Source and XXL.
It was a motherfucking... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't the internet. I couldn't go. It wasn't that easy accessible. So to find out what was going on in hip hop, you had to go get a magazine, and I would walk miles to go get that motherfucker.
And the thing about that, the highs and lows of that is, it was a great time, but it also, you were fed what they gave you.
Yeah.
And I say that's the best part about today. Because no one is telling us what to listen to.
No, I wouldn't be
we
here.
We listen to whatever the fuck we want to today. You got that type of freedom.
I wouldn't be here if it was for that. Because like you say, it was a lot of gatekeeping. And I remember, like, you know, early 2000s when I was going out trying to get record deals and shit, they always would tell me, like, you don't got the look. Like, the music is good, but you don't got the look. That's when I had my fucked up teeth.
They told me that for years,
nappy ass braids. They like, and this was the era of motherfuckers had muscles, and you know what I'm saying?
The
like,
50 Cent era.
Taking their shirt off. I'm out here with the, I got the fupa. I'm skinny. I'm looking like an African kid, like save the kids type nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Detroit. I'm straight living off food stamps and shit, you know?
Nah, for sure. I get it, man.
I'm like, just give me a chance.
It's one of them things where, you know, it makes you stronger. You know, being from Houston, I'm cut from, you know, Slim Thug and Michael Watson, Chameleonaire and them. Like, their underground movement, how they was getting paper, you know what I'm saying? Just off the underground and... all that shit. And like I tell everybody all the time, I'm an old young nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm cut from them, but I'm also, these young college kids love me. You know what I'm saying? So when I tell young niggas today the shit I had to go through, they can't believe it.
And that's also why you have that independent spirit as well. Because you was able to see it. Like
I was able to see it.
Only way I was able to see it was people like Insane Clown Posse. People that didn't look like me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or
yeah,
didn't talk the shit that I wanted to talk. So I always thought that the only way I was going
to
be able to make
you
it
had to sign.
Before the internet came was fucking a major label. I mean, I literally fucking got, I feel like I got on off Twitter. Like it was Twitter pretty much in Austin, Texas. That's why I'm back in this motherfucker. Austin made me South by Southwest. And, you know, just shit like that, man. But, you know, like I say, these motherfuckers don't really love rap, man. I used to fucking walk. I sound like that motherfucker. Like, you don't remember. I used to have to walk 8 miles to school and some Chuck Taylors. But, yeah, I did.
Bro, just even on a production level, you know, because I make beats. And the shit producers have today, y'all got Fruity Loops in these computers. And you can do amazing things so
AI.
Quickly.
They got AI.
Bro, you just drag the noises in this VST and the beat is made for you.
I remember when VSTs first came out, I was like, that's some bullshit.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying?
Me too. Because I was like, these sounds sound all thin. These ain't no real horns. Mm-hmm. These ain't no real pianos. And that shit started getting gangster. It's just,
it's
not making it
now.
Sound right. It sounds good now.
What I realize is that all those companies that, you know, make all the music equipment and shit, they realize that they can put out a fucking MPC or whatever the fuck, and they can make it how they've been making it. But they really trying to make all their money off the plugins and the VSTs and all that shit. So that's really where they putting all their efforts to, besides the actual hardware.
Tell everybody, you want to see some depressing shit? Like what they say on Boys in the Hood, want to see a dead body? Go to Guitar Center and go to the keyboard section. It's just not the same, bro. Like when I was like 16, it was MPCs plugged up. Keyboards, it'll be like 20 keyboards, motifs, and
Tritons.
You know, and Tritons and Phantoms all plugged up. You sitting there because you broke, so you can't ever afford any of this shit. You
making
a whole
shit.
Nine beats in Guitar Center, hoping nobody steal that shit.
I'm guilty of that.
You know what I'm saying?
Just being Guitar Center for hours, just playing with shit.
Today,
man.
That is not the case, man. It's probably like 3 or 4 keyboards hooked up in that bitch.
And even now, you don't even have to buy software. You just go online and just download the shit. You know,
steal that shit.
Which I would say is great. It is great just to be at home, but I hate it, man. My fucking that shit be racking up. You look around, be like, fuck, I done spent thousands of dollars in VSTs, and you gotta make a beat, motherfucker.
Well, one thing about it, people are smart, so they didn't find ways to kind of trap you into buying that shit again, because you can get cracks, but for the most part, some of these VSTs won't even work through the cracks, so you have to steal. They got them iLocks thing it's better to just buy that shit so they don't be crashing on your mid-beat. Type shit, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to record on the fucking cracked ass Pro Tools. You'll be right in the middle of doing your ad lib track, and it'll just and stop on your ass. So,
but that's don't still, buy that shit, that's man. Still some old school shit, man. All right, man. Next up, we got Ax Danny. Needs some girl advice. I was in this relationship with a girl for 4 years, and she was my best friend before we were together and during it. We still are to this day. Eventually this year, she said she wanted a break, and we eventually started the break. I know basically nothing about the relationship, considering this was the only one I ever been in. Oh, I know nothing about a relationship. All right. Long story short, do I actually believe this is a break and keep thoughts on her in the back of my head, or do I just move on? Thanks. Sound like to me she just wants some new dick. That's really what goes on sometimes. She's a little bit bored.
Ain't no such thing as a break. So yeah. How long are we doing this? Are we just breaking so you can just get some dick and then you come back to me? That's what you got to think, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no break.
Yeah, ain't no break.
She just wanted to just get some.
She
want to
play the field. She want to play the field real quick and decide, and see how shitty guys are and then realize she got a good man and come back to your ass.
Take it from somebody who been through that.
Yeah,
I went through that in what 2005 with the girl I had. We was together since she was what? She was 15. I was 17. We had been together through high school all the way up till she got to college. When she got to college, she starts seeing them sexy niggas. You know what I'm saying? She starts seeing them niggas that's in stepping, you know what I'm saying? Them cues and shit. She starts seeing them sexy niggas. And my fat ass, I'm talking about, yeah, I'm going to be a rapper one day. I'm going to be really turned up. And she's like, yeah, that's cool, man. But your rapper ain't rappering right now. And you know what I'm saying? She ain't say it like that. You know, when a girl really got feelings for you, she gonna lie to you and try to, ease the blow. But yeah, she's like, yeah, I just think we need just a break. Just a break.
Yeah.
Don't but fall at least, for that shit.
But at least, though, I will say that she came to you and had the conversation because shit, bitches just cheated on me.
Hey, man, I put it like this, man. I guess you gotta look at it. They do got a little respect for you. It's the break. Yeah, you gotta just be mad and accept it.
Yeah,
cause she being 100. You know what I'm saying?
Cause I ain't gonna lie. It's that theory that most men that are a piece of shit that treat women bad. They got cheated on in high school or some shit, and now they fucking 40 years old still fucking out here living like dogs. And hey. There's some truth to that shit, man. That bitch hurt you, man. You don't know what to think, man. I swear to God, I was going through it. In my bedroom, crying like a little bitch, man, in fucking high school and shit.
Man, I feel like it's two levels as a man that you hit with women. You got the level where, you're a normal guy and you're fucking normal bitches, or probably ugly bitches, or whatever bitches you can get as a normal guy. And then you become someone in life. And I don't mean you have to be famous or nothing. It's just you find out what your purpose in life is. You become more financially stable and all that. And once that comes into your life, you hit a new confidence with yourself. And then you start dealing with different kinds of bitches then. You know what I'm saying? And when you hit that level, that's where every guy should strive to become. Because that guy that just answered that question, if he was in that area of his life, he wouldn't even ask you that.
Yeah,
because you're looking at it like a break.
Oh,
bitch,
it's lit. It's
lit.
You
know lit. Who the fuck I am? A break? Bitch, you know break. Who the fuck I am? All right, bitch. You
I'm like, a break? It's
you
lit,
broke
bitch.
Now.
What?
You broke.
It's going down.
Yeah, you done broke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, straight up.
Yeah, so yeah, a break, you know what I'm saying? That's just a polite way of breaking up with you. That's all that is.
Way.
Break is breaking up.
And what's crazy is, as a woman, she really meant that. She really mean like she want a break. She really meant that she wants to, because women need clear consciences. They need to be able to do it freely. She's not a cheater. She just want to be able to go get some dick conscious free. So she really want to go fuck some other niggas real quick and come back to you in about like 7-8 months.
I ain't with that.
So you gotta sit there and think, is that something you, do you really want to fuck with that bitch?
After you ain't coming back to me with no tampered pussy.
Nah, man.
It's over with. The seal has been broken.
Once another dick went in there,
it's over, bitch.
It's a done deal.
It's over. All right.
It's a done deal.
Trifling assholes.
Bitches.
All right, next up.
Made us real fucking mad.
Yeah, because I feel him. I feel his pain. I've been there,
I've been
man.
There. I've been there.
Ask Danny. Success in the music industry. What's up, Danny? Huge fan of the show. Genuine follower of your music for the last decade. Love that joint you did with Darky Freaker. Shouts out, Darky Freaker. Wanted to ask, how do you feel? Is it possible to break into the music industry these days? Is it sustainable through just playing shows / making records, word of mouth? Or do you have to invest your own money into a PR, et cetera? What streams of revenue are worthwhile? Just wanted to ask a musician itself. And any peers of medium tier / any success are all affluent rich. Best mark. All right. I would say my best thing to would say is you already thinking too far. You know, thinking about how to, the best thing you can possibly do is, you know that theory, if you build it, they will come. So work on your music and get as good as the shit that you possibly can. And before you know it, motherfuckers would just be coming to you. You wouldn't have to be thinking about how to break into the music industry or playing shows and word of mouth. I'm pretty sure B King could tell you that shit, man. He's a fucking living legend of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
at the end of the day, man, you gotta look at, it's a social media driven world we in right now. And Instagram, every post you make is a commercial for yourself. So you have to find out what will make people follow you. People follow people who give them something that they don't have. I have to follow your page so I can be tuned in to this because this helps me get through my day, or this entertains me, or this makes me feel good when I see a post from this person. You have to figure out what your thing is that make people want to gravitate towards you.
Yeah, because it's way easier than what it was. I mean, motherfucker, I used to have to get on a fucking Greyhound with a bag full of CDs. Like, that's what I'm saying. I love the rap.
But you know what's crazy? I was talking to my girl about that the other day. I was like, the CD game was whack, but it was dope because it was all about your work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you was trash, if you passed out 5,000 CDs on a college campus, people was going to know your whack ass song. it's called work. It's inevitable. Like, people were going to find out who you were, even if you were trash. Today, it's not about the music. People have to come to your social media based off something completely else now. People have to think you're a character, or you're sexy, or maybe you're ugly enough to be viral, or you gotta be something else, then the music is secondary. So I was like, I was trying to figure out, what's the disconnect? What's the new CDs? Because how could you, what's the new version of passing out CDs?
Posting.
That's it. But posting is, it's not the same.
No, it's not. But the difference is too, though, we're able to see these people and kind of get a feel and know who they are. Like, it's been so many times, like back then, you would get a fucking, you'll just get some shit and you'd be like, this shit fire. You ain't even know how these motherfuckers look. You ain't know nothing.
I just remember when we in Austin, like how South by Southwest and Texas Relays used to be. It would be CDs all over Sixth Street.
I remember that.
You couldn't walk on the streets. You stepping on glass, and it, CDs everywhere. People who put thousands of dollars in the CDs and all that. But I never was like that. My whole career, if a fan gave me a CD on Sixth Street, I'd put it in my backpack. And I would go to the hotel. It'd be like 50 CDs in my backpack. And I would get on live or something. What was going on back then? Vine. Vine, motherfucking... Periscope on Twitter, Instagram Live back then, and I would listen to all the CDs on live. You know
I'm
what I'm
a
saying?
Piece of just shit, to, man. Because yeah. You pass me a CD, man. If it's good, I'd be like, oh yeah, this shit tight. But I ain't listening for good. I want to hear some fucked up shit. Where I'd be like, oh shit, I want to be able to laugh. I want some entertainment. Like, this motherfucker really made this dumb ass shit.
Hey, on God. Hey, let's be 100. I kept them CDs to see if they were trash.
Yeah, that's my whole point. I want to hear some trash.
I
want to
hear some whack. Like, what are you? Whoa, what made you think you should rap?
Yeah, I'm really a piece of shit when it comes to that. Like, motherfucker give me a CD or something. I always wanted to hear some fucked up shit. It's been a few times, though, where I've gotten a CD and I've been like,
I heard a song that was so fucking trash and fucked up. I'm not going to name the song because I feel that'd be disrespectful. But my dog, Sergeant J, my little brother, he make beats, man. He produced the song Bust It for Erykah Banks.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
yeah, Sergeant J. Yeah, like, ever since he was a youngster, we would all go to South by South. He would come to South by Southwest with me. He'd bring his PS3 or 4, whatever was out of the time, and hook it up in the hotel. We would just walk down 6th Street and shit. And we got this CD. It was so fucking trash. It was so trash that we made it an annual thing for us every South by Southwest to make fun of this song. We first heard it in like 2016. And ever since then, we make it a thing to talk about this whack ass song around March every year.
But even now, I mean, it's not really like a bad thing in that sense. Like, that's what be going viral. If you look at like that Island Boy song, that wasn't like motherfuckers like that shit. They laughed at that shit. And that's what made the shit go viral and some
shit. I put it like this. You got a song like Sexy Red, Pound Town.
Yeah.
She did that shit like that on purpose.
Motherfuckers love that shit.
Yeah, she did that shit like that on purpose. To have you like, man, who is this whack bitch? What is this bullshit? And the shit, you got Tay Keith on the beat. So it is strategically planned. Like, that shit wasn't on accident. You heard her, my booty hole brown. She did that shit on purpose so she can get to ski eat.
Yeah.
She like, I gotta get your attention shit, so you can hit ski.
When I first heard that shit, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I know for goddamn well she ain't write this shit.
Oh, no. Nah.
That was just a freestyle. That was like.
When I heard that, I'm a goofy damn fool too. So when I heard that, I say, beautifully executed. Beautifully executed. Because you got every ratchet bitch attention so that you can drop that ski. Because that's the motherfucker. That's the hit for real. You know what I'm saying? It's just undeniable.
So can she really rap?
To me, she really raps for her lane.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to put her in a lyricist category, just like a lot of people won't put me in a lyricist category. Even though I can rap, no one cares about hearing B. King rap. Just make a bitch pop that pussy. And I think she does what she does very well. Her vocal range, how she get on these beats. Like, she sound like how a ratchet bitch talk when she project her voice. When ratchet hoes project their voice, that's how she sound. And that's why they loving this shit.
And I really think it's just becoming more of, you know, women are finally getting, you know, women in the hood, you know, they finally getting people that they can identify with.
Like Cardi B kicked that door down.
Yeah. But even her, she looked too good. It's almost like, you don't look like me, though. Like,
hey,
you still,
on God.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? I say that in the social media era, that's what happened, too. It all has to make sense. All that studio gangster fake shit, it was easier in the 90s, early 2000s, because people didn't really know your lifestyle. You could just pop up out of nowhere and say you did shit and all that. Now, today, it's more of a, if you making ratchet bitch music, you need to be ugly.
Yeah, you need to be a ratchet bitch.
You need to be an ugly ratchet asshole. Oh, I don't believe you.
Yeah, you look like you're from the hood.
You know what I'm saying?
You know?
Like it, yeah.
But
you
yeah, she definitely got it. She got a fucking, she getting good reviews for that album and everything.
Shout out to
Sexy
Red. That's the homie, you know what I'm saying? I was trying to get on this album. She just had a lot going on.
She's cracking now. God damn it. Yeah, who knew,
man,
if you could just say, my booty hole brown, you could just
hey,
be cracking.
Man.
Oh, God damn it. All right.
My booty hole, Danny Brown. That's the remix.
Ain't got... What the fuck?
Pause.
What the fuck? All right. We jumped to some white people shit now. We done went too far in the hood.
Hey.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
White people shit.
Kissing on dogs. Danny, one time me and my white friend went over to our black friend house for a barbecue. Mark had a little pug named Brick. Oh, yeah. Mark the black friend? Oh, no. Brian. All right. Whatever. Because Brick, that's a black nigga name. That's a black nigga dog. I don't know.
Like a scary right.
While we were there, Mark picked Brick up and started giving him little kisses and whatnot. Brown grandma saw this and said something about how white people always be kissing their dogs. I know you and Ditto are tight as fuck. So my question is kissing your dog white people shit? Alex from Birmingham. No, man, I wouldn't say kissing dogs white people shit. I know, you know, they always try to put that on. But I love my dog. I definitely kiss my dog. I just think it's all about, are you an animal lover? It's different type of animal lovers out here.
Look at my face. That is white people shit. Danny Brown just love his dog like a white man. That is white people shit. Yeah, so I ain't never seen none of my black partners kissing their pit bull in the mouth.
Dog, I actually seen the day. Did you see that video of the motherfucker in Houston with the raccoon?
Yeah, I saw that shit.
Dog, man, that shit was fucked up, man. Like, oh, this nigga had a raccoon. Like, really, like, that motherfucker was a chihuahua or something. Like,
honestly, I can't even relate. I absolutely fucking hate dogs. So, you know, yeah.
No, you ain't gonna be able to find that shit. That shit was like some real hood viral shit. But man, you ain't a pet guy, huh?
Hell no. I hate animals. I hate them.
That don't sound good for PETA.
But you know what? I don't want to kill them or hurt them. I'm not the nigga shooting at dogs and animals, you know what I'm saying? It's just keep that motherfucker out of my house. You start fucking up my allergies.
I'll be honest with you. Like, if I was single and I lived by myself, like, most of my pets, you know, they came from, you know, being in relationships and shit like that. But the only thing is about that is I just feel like I'm too irresponsible to be caring for an animal by myself in that sense. And I get too attached. The motherfucking dogs, they die.
They die in like 10 years or some shit. Like,
you be sitting around crying like a bitch about your dog and shit like that, man. You're going to be like DMX rapping about the same dog for 10 years. Rest in peace, Boomer.
Man, so like that shit. Yeah, I'm good on animals, man.
I just get attached. Like, Ditto been going through her thing, man. We had to spend so much money to keep her alive and shit. And it's just been every day, man. Like, you know, I see something. She make a noise a little wrong. I'd be like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? My heart get to beating fast and shit like that. So Ditto is crazy, though, man. I love that dog, man. I can't.
For sure.
You know, I can't imagine life without her, to be honest, man. So
that's how
pray
I feel
for my baby, man.
That's how I feel about Candy. I love Sour Patch Kids. You know what I'm saying?
BK, you in shape now, man. You can't be thinking about the candy no more.
I ain't in shape. I'm just a little smaller.
Since the last time I saw your ass, you look amazing, brother.
I was
you
plump as fuck when we was hanging out back in the day. That was in our demon time days.
You should be proud of yourself, brother.
Sure, I am. I don't down talk it. You know, it's that shit ain't easy. You know what I'm saying? When you in your late 30s, you kind of setting your ways. You've been eating how you've been eating your whole life. And I just got tired of being tired on stage. And, you know what I'm saying? The older we get, our bodies start doing little dumb shit.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I just be chilling in the studio and my heart beating fast as fuck. And I'm not doing nothing. I'm like, what's going on? I don't think I'm finna die. You know what I'm saying? Like, little dumb shit start happening until you hit them late 30s. Your teeth start falling out. Like, dumb shit. So I just like, man, let me just start eating better. And it make you stop snoring. It gives you more energy, you more positive, your brain is working better. You know what I'm saying? I just start hitting the weights and just eating one time a day.
So for all the big fellas, so that would be your advice for all the big fellas out there.
All the big dudes, it's I don't try to preach to big guys because for the most part, a big person don't want to hear that. Of course, they want to lose weight and be healthier, but you got to really want to do that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it will not be easy. You can get started and then you'll plateau after maybe 2 or 3 months and then you'll gain it back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you really have to, something has to motivate you.
And it comes back fast too.
Come back way faster than you lose it. You know what I'm saying? So most big guys, it's probably going to be a woman that's going to motivate them.
Yeah.
A woman is going to break their heart or something, or you're going to not be able to fit in some car or something. Well, like Nutty Professor, he was just, I'm finna find a potion, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, man, mine was just looking better on Instagram, man, just for my likeness. Like, people love my crazy ass shirts, and I want the shirts to look better on me, you know what I'm saying? I want to be able to perform at a festival for an hour outside. That shit get real.
Hell yeah, out here.
You know, shit get real after that fifth song, and you just like.
One of the hottest shows ever played.
Y'all make some noise real quick.
What is that? Y'all got Houston Press? What is it called?
Yeah, Free Press.
Yeah,
Free
I played press. That.
You'll pass out.
I died.
You'll pass
I'm talking
out.
About literally dying. I'm not
that
a
shit
shirt.
Almost killed me. Free
I'm
press.
Not a shirt taking off motherfucker. I had to
had
take
to.
My shirt off on that motherfucker. I'm up there looking like a Cambodian kid. That shit was crazy.
Them festivals make you, it show if you really a performer. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like venues and shit. It's 10,000 people out there. So the amount of energy you have for those people for the whole show, you know what I'm saying? You get around that fourth song, you know, and you come out there lit because everybody lit because you singing that shit word for word. And then after a while, you just like, y'all make some noise, please, because I can't no more.
Because as much as I love touring, man, but
get real.
That goddamn hour and 30 minute set.
Get real.
What the fuck, man?
Especially like, outside.
You have no idea. Like,
get real.
How do you rap for an hour and 30 minutes? Like, but
you learn. You
got to do what you got
to
do.
You learn how to breathe,
to
right?
me, 45 minutes is my sweet spot. 30 minutes, 45, that's great.
That's great.
I turn up.
I demolish you in 40 minutes. 40 minutes, I'm going to demolish that stage.
But that hour and 30 kills me. Like even
and then you got to start performing them songs that they don't know as much as the first 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So now it's just like, all right, man, these songs back here, these kind of the
you
album
gotta start
fillers.
Reaching in the catalog. Now, like even my last solo tour I did, I was like, I'm not doing 130. I'm just doing an hour. I can't do 130. I can't. But and that was I was drinking a lot then, and I was know, so it was all planned.
When you mix substances in it and alcohol, you're gonna be hung over the next day type shit.
Yeah,
and
all that. Yeah, that was me. Now with this, we're going back out on the road with my boy Peggy. So, but we playing an hour and 30. But the good thing is two of us.
Hey, one thing about it, you stay out there for 2 hours for that money. The money be so good. We work through our problems.
Yeah, definitely.
We work through our problems.
I gotta go play an hour next week. It is what it is, you know. But you know, I'm happy. One thing that I learned, you know, just being sober and shit, man, and what I miss about being on stage, I just realized how therapeutic it is for me. You know,
it's almost, real love. They really love you.
It's almost like another form of therapy. After you haven't been out on the road or been out doing shows at the Loud, then you do one, and then you just feel that energy of you feel appreciated for something.
It's crazy. It ain't even got to be a show. It could be maybe you just been really just shut in, dealing with life or whatever you're going through, and you just decide to maybe go out somewhere or just go and just have fun and just seeing them fans walking up on you wanting pictures. And you'd be like, damn, all right, people still love me, man. People
yeah, it's like, you're me, right. Man. Like, you know it don't what matter saying? What. And even, like, when you're on that stage for that hour or whatever, you know, it's like all your problems are gone from life. Mm-hmm. For that moment in time, you can just be free and just have a good time. And it's just
so, I tell everybody. People,
I really miss that.
People who really love it, they up there doing different shit every night. It's not scripted so much, but people who really love it, you up there just talking to them people. Like you, the show you getting is not the show Atlanta getting. It's it's how y'all making me feel today. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, so I guess I love that stage too.
All right, so we're jumping to another white person shit. Hey, Danny, I got some rich white people shit for you. The opera. I'm sure there are some genuine opera fans out there, but I feel like half the people who go to opera aren't there because they like it. It's because it's what you do when you're white and you get a bit of money. It's like a meetup spot for rich white people. What do you think, Darren? Yeah, I think the opera is definitely some rich white people shit, but I love rich people shit. I want to be rich and do rich people shit, so I would definitely pull up to the opera. I'm pretty sure a lot of deals and, you know, connects was made at the opera, you know?
I just feel left out. I've never been to an opera in my life. And I'm a rich nigga. I want to go do rich nigga shit.
And we got the...
And I want to do rich white people shit. So I want to go to the opera now.
And back home in Detroit, we got the Detroit Opera House, where they do that shit every weekend. It's some big crazy opera shit. And you actually, like, if you, drive past there when they got a show, you see the cars pulling up. Fucking Bentleys and Maybachs and all that shit. You see the type of motherfucker. So, yeah, I would love to mingle amongst those rich white folk. You know what I'm saying?
I want to go to the opera now. Get some ideas.
I know the music is kind of trash, but, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, fuck that shit. Let's just watch it on YouTube. Fuck.
See, that jumps right into...
The technology conversation we're talking about, because my thing is, that's why I won't buy no new games.
Yeah,
I'll just watch somebody beat it on YouTube.
See,
man.
I was just about to say that. You fucked me up with that shit. You was the first motherfucker I ever heard say that shit. I was talking to your ass one day when we was chilling. And I'm like, yeah, you don't play games and shit. You're like, man, why the fuck I play a game? I could just watch the ending on YouTube.
Watch somebody.
And it was like, what the fuck?
Watch somebody do a whole walkthrough. A whole walkthrough for 9 hours. Watch it all week.
And then I was like, what the fuck? And then I started doing that shit sometimes. Now I don't even be beating games half the time sometimes. Sometimes I get on a game, I get in a tough spot. I be like, fuck it, man. What the fuck happened, man? I don't give a fuck, man.
Why?
I don't follow the story, man.
You can watch somebody that's way better than you.
But you literally was the first person I ever heard say that shit. You fuck, we was walking around the Galleria. I remember this shit like yesterday.
I remember when my daughters were very young. They would get on YouTube every day and just watch other kids play with toys all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I ain't even got to buy shit. So y'all just watch other little white kids play with the shit. Like, the fuck am I going to buy toys for?
But
get your iPad for Christmas and watch
that,
other kids.
But ain't the whole point of the toy shit is almost like a review to make the kid want the toy they sell?
No, you watch that shit. These videos be having hundreds of M's.
I know. I've
seen just
it.
Kids playing with Frozen toys and Disney toys, and this shit will fuck me up. And it's adults. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing? And they just talking and just getting paid.
Dog, that shit is a just crazy world. And you know, even the kids that's behind, like this, I've seen this one fucking YouTube channel I remember I was at my boy crib and his kids was watching this shit. And he was like, these little kids, they was like Power Rangers or some shit, making like whole episodes. They was like, and these motherfuckers was ripped, like had six packs doing ninja moves and shit. It was like they own like self-produced shit. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? And you know, and you at the end of the day, you know they had some fucking crazy parents behind that shit making them do that shit. And I was like, what the fuck? And that shit had so many fucking views. I don't know what the fuck that shit was.
I literally watch YouTube every night to go to sleep. I watch so many different worlds of YouTube. I watch ratchet ass shit. I watch movie reviews. Mm-hmm. I watch another one of my favorite movie reviews, Double Toasted.
Yeah.
They out here in Austin here, too. Yeah. I've never met them. No, I'm a big fan of them.
I was on there
you
one time.
You gotta put me down with them too. Yeah. I've never met was it Gary? Homie, Corey. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, you need to pull up over here too.
I love the Double Toasted. You know what I'm saying? And I watch Watch Mojo and they top 10 countdowns and all that. I watch it so much.
Prim's Hood Cinema Review.
Oh, Prim. That's my nigga. He's an all star.
He's an all star. You all the same shit.
That's my nigga, man.
You understand shit about
even. But I found out about him during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And even certain, like, I find myself, like, when certain, like, TV shows come out and shit, instead of just watching the whole season, you can just, like, watch an hour breakdown. You know what I'm saying? You fucked me up with this shit, man. I blame
reviews,
you for this shit,
bro.
Man. I really blame you for
like
this shit.
Like, when them Power episodes leaked.
You ain't got to watch the season. You ain't got to watch the season. Just watch a fucking hour breakdown. You done watched the whole season right there. And then they give you like conspiracy theories about the shit, why they did this, why they did that. I watched one about the Sopranos. Like, what the fuck?
It's motherfuckers who sit there and analyze everything. I watched a whole hour video about the story of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
From Mortal Kombat 1 all the way up to 11.
They got a Metal Gear Solid one that's like 5 hours.
Yeah, a Grand Theft Auto one that's like 4 hours.
That shit
I think
is
it's
amazing.
The same nigga making them too.
Yeah, that shit is amazing. All right, we almost up out of here. Let's spin the wheel one time. Let's see if we can get lucky. Spin the motherfucking wheel. LaCroix, we've been on this before. Goddamn fucking Zolo. You ain't take LaCroix off, man. We done this before, man. Just give me a second one. Fuck LaCroix. We in Texas, man. It's about that ramble and vintage stores. Okay. Now, B-King, I know you ain't going to like this one. Cause
what's up?
You be like them clothes stank and all that shit.
What you mean?
Thrifting. Are you
thrifting? My girl into it.
Yeah.
She into it. And she be coming out fly. I be like, man, where you find that shit at? Thrifting.
Yeah, that's my whole shit is, me personally with thrifting, you know, that's my shit. My daughter was here. She went thrifting. It's just, you know, you find, sometimes you want to go shopping and you just know what you're looking for.
There's some gems.
With thrifting, you never know what you're going to get. And it's almost like, it's like a rush. It's like a high to find some fire shit for dirt cheap. You're like,
oh,
what?
God.
I paid $4 for this t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? And shit like that. Or, you know, just online thrifting where it's like certain pieces.
I bought some $5 ice skates with no blades. When they had no blades in them. And this is because it was $5. And I was like, man, give me this shit.
That's some different. Because
they was yellow
right
and
there.
They look cool. I was like, man, I've never ice skated in my life. I just bought them though.
But for the most part, it's like certain pieces that you know you can't just go buy.
You can't find it.
Like me, I always wanted a polo ski jacket ever since I was a kid. I couldn't afford that shit. I couldn't get that shit.
And you know, the real gems at thrift stores is going in the back where the furniture is.
Yeah, no, I mean, what it is when I
got some couches in my studio that I've had since 2015. They came from the thrift store.
When you plugged in though, like me with certain thrifters and shit, like they just hit me up.
You're a fucking thrift plug.
You get plugs for them, and when they get some shit in or something, they just hit me up. Like, we got this, and you cop when you want to cop, or you know, or sometimes some motherfuckers they know what I fuck with. They just send that shit to me, and I gotta pay their ass later type shit.
It's a piece of furniture that's in the my living room in the front of the house. It came from a thrift store.
I feel like that's some black people shit.
And people and just like, what the fuck? It looks like some Bruce Wayne type shit. Yeah.
You know what store. Thrift and furniture is for black people? When a motherfucker get put out naked. And they shit just be in front of the house and shit. My grandma was the king of that shit. You drive past a motherfucker got put out like, oh shit, that coffee table look
oh,
nice.
Oh God. The you glass go ain't back. Broke. All
now
right.
you carrying that bitch back. You damn near stealing at that point. You know what I'm
oh,
saying?
God.
But that's black people thrifting right there, motherfuckers. Motherfucker just you got put out, they going to get your motherfucking recliners and shit.
They're gonna get it before you get it.
Yeah, definitely.
You ain't
man.
Even came home and seen it outside yet.
So BK, man, thank you, brother, man. You my brother.
Thank you.
So good to see your ass,
we go
man.
Back,
dog.
Yes, sir.
We
yes,
definitely
sir.
Gotta we definitely gotta hang out again when we got some more time and shit, man. But
we gotta make a sober song.
Oh shit.
I don't know who it was in the front. He gave me this shit. I say, I want some water. He said, here you go. I said, what the fuck is this? I thought it was a whole goddamn beer.
Liquid Death.
I was like, what the fuck?
Shouts out to Liquid Death.
Shit right. Good, too.
We love y'all motherfuckers. We up out here, man. Have a good one. Peace out.